I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, a friend of mine once said that life has a way of lifing you. Don't you think that's so true? It's true. If you circle the earth enough times, you eventually learn that you really don't have the control you once thought you had, and that A plus B doesn't always equal C. You know, there's no formula that protects us from hard times that eventually come, but there is a way to navigate those times in a way that can actually change you from the inside out and that can awaken you afresh to the reality of God's presence and His goodness, even when He seems absent and silent. Frank Viola joins me today to talk about his book, Hang On, Let Go, What to Do When Your Dreams Are Shattered and Your Life is Falling Apart. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Now, you know, it's kind of my love language when you text and engage during the show. You just can't know what it means to see your texts come in, just your personal conversations. We just love you, and it just makes us feel so connected to you. So I'm going to ask you to text in and answer this question. Which of your trials has served you best? What trial has served you very well? As much as you don't ever want to go through it again. My hubby, one of them, he would say his cancer battle. He's like, never want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because of what I learned about my mortality and about God's faithfulness. What trial has served you best? Maybe you don't want to go through it again, but it served you well. Text me, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. If you are traveling in the days ahead, we want you to take us with you. We've got an amazing free Faith Radio app. You can live stream the shows from anywhere. You can catch podcasts after the fact, even read our blog posts. Go to your app store and search Faith Radio Network, and you will find it. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Frank Viola is a best-selling author, conference speaker, and a blogger. His mission is to help serious followers of Jesus know their Lord more deeply so they can experience real transformation and make a lasting impact. He's written many books on these themes, including God's Favorite Place on Earth and From Eternity to Here as his landmark book, Insurgent, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom, and his blog is Beyond Evangelical. It's rated one of the most popular blogs in Christian circles today. Frank, it's been way too long since we've chatted. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be on, Susie. I'm honored and my privilege.
Looking forward to the conversation. We start every day, Frank, talking scripture, and I'm just wondering what the Lord's been speaking to these days.
Well, the passage that I have been kind of stuck on for a bit is in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, and it says, "The one who acts hastily makes poor choices." And so I have just been arrested by the revelation that haste, being in a rush, is toxic to the believer. Because when we're hasty, we're not present to others. We're not present to ourselves. We're not present to God. And it opens the door for making some bad choices, some mistakes. And as we talk about trials, you know, if we're really going through pain, we wanna cauterize the wound immediately, so that we don't bleed out. And the temptation is to rush the process, make hasty decisions, and that usually makes the trial or the crisis we're in worse.
Wow. Well, you know, I noticed in the beginning, at least, you didn't share much about your own trials, but I want to read the title of your book again, Hang On, Let Go, What to Do When Your Dreams Are Shattered and Life is Falling Apart. And Frank, as much as you're willing to share, tell us what happened that, you know, really called you to write a book like this.
Yeah, well, I mean, just like any other Christian who's lived past the age of 40, you know, I have been through all sorts of trials and crises in my life. What really provoked the book was that I had very close friends and some family members who were going through some severe, horrific trials. And it caused me, Susie, to reflect back on everything I had been through. And, when the COVID thing hit, I had some of my own very close loved ones, were struck by some sickness. And so that caused me to reflect. But I had so many friends who were going through relational crisis, financial crisis, health crisis. And it provoked me to sit down and reflect on everything I have been through in my own life and things that my friends have been through that I have learned from, to put a book together that would sort of be a compass and a survival guide, really, on how to get through what you're going through in a way that you not only survive it, but you can thrive through it. And I have found, Susie, when you write a book and you turn it into the publisher, you got to wait a year before it comes out. And I will tell you that this book, I'm telling you, I'm so glad it's here. Over the last week, on my social media feed, I have read the following. I have a loved one in the hospital with the virus, and I'm not sure they're going to make it. My boyfriend says he needs space. I am devastated. Our daughter is hooked on drugs, and we don't know what to do. I'm tired of being alone. Will I ever find some? I had to cancel my subscription to the network because I'm out of work, and I don't know what the future holds. I have a family member who's mentally ill and suicidal. I'm enduring the worst trial of my life, and I'm not sure I can go on. That's just in the last 2 weeks. And so my book addresses all of that because it's written in such a way that you can apply the principles to any trial, any crisis, and get some real practical help on how to get through it.
Hmm. Well, ask the question to our listeners, what trial in your life has served you best and served you well? What would you say? How would you answer that in your own life?
I can't pinpoint any one particular, but I can say this, that every pain that we go through has a purpose. One person said, what pain someday will this serve the best? And so anytime I go through a trial or my friends have gone through a trial, I encourage them to ask some questions. And one of them is, what does this problem, this hardship, make possible right now, and what will it make possible in the future? And one of the things that I hammer away at in the book is that every trial is designed to turn us into version 2.0 of ourselves, right? Now, speaking of myself, I used to have an anxiety problem, and I was very quick to react. Okay, I have Italian blood in me, 100%. So I'm someone who, throughout my life, my adult life anyway, would overreact to things. And it was through a health crisis, that related to a loved one, that really taught me how not to react, but to respond. And in the book, I talk about the difference between reacting and responding, and it's made a tremendous difference in my life. So that pain was useful to me in my own life, and I'm trying to pass insights like that on to others who really are going through a hard time, like the people who I just read about from my social media feed just 2 weeks ago.
This dear listener says, can't go into details, but God changed my heart about something that just about killed me. He showed me that he didn't leave me for a second. He didn't condemn me from my heart, and his grace is sufficient. I learned what grace really means and that I need it every moment of every day. I learned for the first time what his love really is and allowed him to love me even more. Wow, that's just so beautiful, dear friend who just wrote in. Thank you for that, and I just love that he met you in that place. And this dear one says, the trial that served them well, as painful as it was, is walking through their own child's and their husband's cancer.
Wow.
And here's another one. Losing a loved one suddenly, it showed me how fragile life is, how important it is to be good with the Lord. And Steve wrote that in, and he makes me think, Steve, of it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house where there's a party. It's really where it comes, And then this one. Grief, pain, loneliness, depression led to joining local ambulance to help people who also hurt, led to a lifetime of ambulance service and blessings. Wow. So you actually, this depression, loneliness, grief, and pain led you to work as an ambulance driver. I thought that was metaphorical, but
a lifetime,
yeah, wow, that is absolutely amazing. Any comment on those?
No, I think that's life in the gutter, life down in the darkness. You know, one of the things that I learned, and this is a theme that runs throughout the book, is that when you are going through a first-class trial, in order to survive the darkness of it, you must learn to hang on the one hand, and let go on the other, hence the title of the book. And in the book, of course, I explain what that means and how to do it. But when a person learns to hang on and let go at the same time, the darkness will eventually bleed daylight.
All right, we're going to take that thought on the other side of the break. What does it mean to hang on and let go? And what does it mean to trust God in the midst of it all? Talking to Frank Viola, his book, Hang On, Let Go, What to Do When Your Dreams Are Shattered and Life is Falling Apart. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I'm amazed at some of the things you've all shared so far, and I'd love to hear from you if you've not texted in yet. What trial has best served you? I would love to know. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Frank Viola about his book, Hang On, Let Go. And one of the things I asked is, if you wouldn't mind engaging with me and telling me what trials in your life have served you best, you know, stuff you don't ever want to go through again, but that has really made an impact maybe on your story, on your heart, and even your character. This dear listener says, at age 22, I had a ruptured brain aneurysm, spent 9 days in a coma, 5 weeks in a regular hospital, then another 8 in a rehab hospital. I have some residual paralysis, but God, I wasn't saved prior to that, but was shortly afterwards. So I went back to school, got a degree, had a really good career, got married, and have a great grown daughter and a full life. So even though I wouldn't wish it on anyone, it was actually a very good thing. I was on a bad road before this. Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of the mistakes we can make when we're reacting to hardship?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there are ditches everywhere when we're going through a grade A trial, and the blood is up to the horse's bit. It's very easy to succumb to the temptations that are common to trials and crisis. One of them is to doubt the goodness of God. All right. And so it's not uncommon when people are blindsided. That's usually how these trials come. They come on you suddenly. They catch you off guard. And, you know, many times we think, well, why is this happening? And why did God allow it to happen? Or why did God cause it to happen? And so we begin to doubt the goodness of God. And this especially gets tricky when the trial lingers and goes on. Okay. And one of the mechanisms of the Lord, and I talk about this in the book, that he's using for transformation and also to show his power, is delay. You know, we want the trial to end right away, especially if it's painful. But God knows what he's doing, and he uses delay as one of his chief instruments to make everybody involved in the trial ready, to make us ready for the destiny that he's called us to and for what he's trying to get out of it. You know, and basically what the Lord will do is he'll take any painful situation that comes our way, whether it's from humans or from the enemy, and he will, in his own inimitable way, he will use it to write straight with crooked lines. Like Joseph said, you meant it for evil, talking about his brothers, but God had a design behind it, and he turned it for good. So that's one of the big temptations, Susie, is to doubt the goodness of God. And the other temptation, and there are more, of course, but the other temptation that comes to my mind is just it's the lure to give up. Now, there's a big difference between giving up and letting go. Giving up is when you throw in the towel and you basically say, I'm done. I'm not going to have any, I'm not going to have hope anymore. I'm just going to yield to despair. And I'm going to stop following this God, and I'm no longer going to be a Christian because the Lord did not meet my expectation. And he doesn't seem to be keeping his promise. So giving up is another temptation, and that's where the hang on part comes in, right? Because if we hang on, he will eventually see us through. May not turn out exactly like we want, but he has a way of adjusting our hearts to where we meet him at the desired point that he's after, and something changes in us. And it's for our gain and for his glory.
Love this from this dear listener. She says, Susie, your question is like asking me which of my children is my favorite. Every trial has been uniquely designed. Listen to this, friends. Every trial has been uniquely designed to serve a specific purpose at the time it occurred. Listen to this. What can I say is that today I fear less and I love more. Wow, I couldn't love that more if I tried. Absolutely amazing. When we think about hanging on and letting go, you know, Abraham, as you said in the book, he hangs on to God. He lets go of Isaac. And so that I'm going to have you unpack that. But first, I also want to pitch this question to our listeners. I mean, we're hanging on to God. What is it that God may want you to let go of? I would love to know. What is it that God wants you to let go of? And this, dear listener, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Being bedridden with Lyme and limbic impairment for 7 years, having to rely entirely on God to show me what to do to get well. I now desire to inspire others to trust him on their healing journey. God bless you, Mel. I know that battle, as you know, too well. And we wish you God's best there. Okay, Frank, talk about Abraham hanging on and letting go.
Yeah, I think Abraham is a perfect example of this tension between hanging on and letting go at the same time. So we have the story where God promised Abraham that he would have a son. And if you remember, there was a big delay there. He had to wait a long time. In fact, he got impatient and tried to make it happen in his own power, which is a temptation for all of us. We try to fix the problem, or we try to fix the situation to get what, you know, we think is supposed to happen. And that's how you get Ishmaels. But the Lord redeemed that, and he had to wait a little longer. Finally, he has the beloved son, and he is intentionally called the beloved son of Abraham, Isaac. And now, no, Abraham loves him. This is his boy, and he's the promised one. He's the one that's going to bring salvation to the earth through his loins, through that family of Israel that will come later. And what ends up happening is God the Father asks Abraham to climb up a hill, raise a knife, and sacrifice his own son, to let go of that which he loved the most, all right? So we have the principle of letting go, but here's the interesting thing. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham believed that God's promise was still good. He was still going to fulfill that word that he had given him, that he would have many, many children through Isaac. He specifically said it would be through Isaac. He believed that. He hung on to it, even though it seemed to contradict what God was telling him, because he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So he hung on to God, and he hung on to God's promise, even though in the natural it looked like it would never happen because God was saying, sacrifice him. And on the other hand, he let go at the same time. And every trial you're going through, I'm talking to everyone who's listening, and if you're not going through a trial right now, well, bless your heart, but as sure as cats have kittens and dogs have puppies, something's going to come out of left field, right field, center field, the bleachers, or the stadium down the street, and you're going to find yourself in deep yogurt. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And it is at that point that you're going to be tested as to whether or not you're going to hang on to God and his promise regardless of what you see. But listen now, this is key. Let go of the outcome. Let go of the outcome. Detach from the outcome. And I tell you what, the best chance you have of draining all of what God wants for you in this trial to have it turn out the best it possibly can is for you to actually surrender. Surrender that thing that you're holding on to so tightly, but don't let go of the Lord and his promise. And that's what the book does, as you know. It unfolds all of this in immense detail and shows you practically how to do it.
Well, we just got a couple more questions for you, Frank, and then we're going to spend our second half of our show praying for you, friends. And you can even start getting those prayer requests in. You can text those in to 877-933-2484. Kim and I will be spending some time just standing with you. But you talk about intimacy, and I love that you ask this question. What's more important to you, that your crisis ends the way you want or that you become intimate with Jesus? And that one really hit me because it's so true. There's times where you're so fed up and so hurt by how long the thing is going on. You want what you want. But at the end of the day, it's intimacy is what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the great question that the Holy Spirit wants us to grapple with. Through every trial, you know, what is more important, that the trial end or that I have more intimacy with Jesus? And it's not an easy question to answer. And one of the best ways to say it to answer is to say, Lord, I really want what I want, but bring me to Gethsemane so I can be like Jesus did, where he said, not my will, but yours. Give me that power and that ability to surrender. And in every trial, we're going to have to face a Gethsemane where we wrestle with what's more important to us. And the beautiful thing is, and the amazing thing is, and the ironic thing is, when we let go of that which is dearest to us, very often that's how we end up getting it back. And we may not get it back in the same form. We may get it back in a different form. But when the Lord takes something away from us because we've given it to him, what he replaces it with is always better and higher and greater. And in the end, we have more intimacy with him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Chip Ingram joins us often on the show, and one of the things he said, people ask him often, how do I revive my faith? He says, let go of whatever it is you're clinging to tightly that's not the Lord. Because he said we just sort of numb out and we sort of flatline in our faith when we're not surrendering. And surrendering leads us to a place of revival and intimacy with God. Frank, thank you for the time today. We sure appreciate it. We're going to move into a time of prayer now. But thank you for sharing your heart and your book with us today. And we wish you God's absolute best as we're going out to break. I want to read one more excerpt from Frank's book. Intimacy involves allowing Jesus to be your best friend. A friend who won't break up with you, disown you, abandon you, or stonewall you. Intimacy means sharing your struggles, your temptations, your doubts, your frustrations, your hurts, your sufferings, and your pain with Jesus. You know, we've been talking a lot lately about being honest with God. Really, that is the point of intimacy, isn't it? All right, so send in your prayer requests. We're going to start praying. We know lots of people are hurting right now, and we want to stand with you. God bless you, Frank. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too.
We'll be back in a minute.
You make all things new. You make all things new.
You know, I never want you to lose sight of that. God makes all things new. Even now, he's making some things new. You probably don't see it, but he's working in your life. And I don't remember who said it, but I heard somebody quote somebody else who said, right now, at this moment, God is working on 10,000 things in your life. You might only see 3 of them. I want you to be encouraged. I'm Susie Larson, and we're going to spend the second half of the show. My partner in ministry, Kim Sanders, amazing producer, we're going to pray for you. I want to read a devotional out of my book, Prevail, just because I think it might be for somebody. And the title is, and then we'll start praying. The title is, Your Great Unearthing is the Devil's Undoing. And the passage is, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. We don't determine the seasons of our lives. God does. We need a faith perspective in every season. Maybe you're walking through a time when you feel undone, exposed, and scattered. Your once well-defined boundaries have been replaced with holes in the ground, dirt mounds, and boulders that have surfaced. You wonder what in the world happened to your tidy life. It's during these seasons that God sets the plow a little deeper into the soil of our hearts because he is about to do a new thing. Beneath the surface, you've got buried hurts, embedded lies, and weeds that choke the life right out of you. It's a messy process, and the enemy wastes no time in leveraging his lies to make you feel worse than you already do. But if you could look up and you could listen for the Lord, you would hear him say, "My dear child, this isn't about who you are. It's about who you're becoming. Your great unearthing will soon be the devil's undoing. Hold on, listen for my voice, and know that this season will not last forever." It will not last forever. A time of great flourishing is ahead for you. Believe it, friend. You're going to get through this. And the action step is this. Lean in and do the inner work of the soul. Sort through your losses, your buried traumas, and the lies you picked up when life let you down. Hold on to hope. A new day is coming. And Kim is on the mic with me now. And Kim, I'll take this one on from Rose, mm-hmm. and then we'll just work up from there, if that's okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. She says, "My son's marriage, please pray. He's choosing to walk away from his marriage. And Father, we pray for this dear listener's son. We pray, God, that you'd move in his heart. Lord God, I pray that you give him a vision for his future legacy, for his future, Father, for all that you want to do. I pray that you'd help him know that an immediate relief won't bring total redemption of the story. So give him the courage and the grit and the guts to turn back around and to give it another try. And I pray you'd bring them the help that they need to bring restoration to this relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God, we lift up this request for a college student in this listener's life who's making some difficult choices in order to continue their education. And we ask that you would be their guide, that you would open the doors that are supposed to be opened, and you would so firmly shut the doors that should be shut, that they would know exactly the path that you have for them. And we continue to pray for the health of all students on all campuses as school starts up, that you would grant them healing power from you, the great physician, that they would remain well in the midst of cold and flu season and this pandemic, that they would be well and they would continue to be able to get the education that you have for them, and that they would trust you in all of this. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. This one says, "I'm having severe back pain, having shingles, and I'm soon to have a hysterectomy." Wow, that's a lot. Please pray. Thank you so much. Father, I pray. We just speak to that back pain. In the name of Jesus, I command it to stop, yes, to cease, desist, and go away in Jesus' name. And we pray shingles would disappear as well in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that the surgery would go well and this dear one would heal fast and that they would be on their feet full of energy in no time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God. And we pray for healing for this listener who has woken up feeling ill and has a fever and a headache and a lot of other symptoms that she doesn't know what to do, or they don't know what to do. So, God, would you guide them? Would you heal them? Lay your hand of healing upon their head and remove this sickness. Whatever is causing these symptoms, would it be gone in Jesus' name? And would the steps that they can take, would you lead them to take those steps? Even now, would you guide them, Lord? Amen.
Amen. Father, we pray for a family that's struggling with some health problems, Lord God, and we just pray for the difficulty in this relationship, Lord God. I pray, God, you'd heal them physically, emotionally, relationally, Lord, and that you'd assign warring angels to stand guard. The enemy is attacking at every angle. And Lord God, we ask you to protect them at every angle, that they would see your goodness, Lord, in the land of the living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I jumped ahead. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Yeah. God, we pray for this listener's loved one who is struggling with addiction, and we pray for all people who are struggling with addiction, yeah, that in Jesus' name, their bonds would be broken in the right time. You know what that timing is, when their heart would be surrendered to you in the healing. And so we ask specifically for this listener's loved one, that you would break off those bonds of addiction, that it would have no she would have no desire to go to those things, and instead her heart would be filled with desire for Jesus, and that she would know him as her healer. We ask that that as her son is seeing these things and being with family members, that would be a safe place, and that he would not take on any extra trauma. And we ask that relationship between a mother and a son would be healed as she gets whole, Lord. We surrender them to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. pray that I would surrender my desire to receive what I feel like I need from others, from my husband, kids, grands, etc., to turn more trustingly and openly and expectantly for God himself. And Father, I just pray, I know those deep desires, and I pray, God, that you would be her fullness, Lord, God, that you would fill her heart with such a strong sense of your presence and that reality of which you say is the Lord is our shepherd. We lack no good thing. We lack nothing. I pray that she would feel like I lack nothing. I have everything. And anything else is an added bonus. And so I pray you'd heal unmet expectations and desires and that you would be the minister of those, Lord God. And then in that, as she finds joy and restoration just in you, she'd be surprised that the kids would come around and the husband would rise up and the grandkids would be connected with her. I just pray all those deep desires would take place, that find their fulfillment as she delights in you. I just pray for a miracle there in Jesus' name.
Scott, we pray for this couple who is struggling to remain devoted to each other and to you after the loss of a child. Mm. Can't even imagine the pain, but God, you can heal that heartbreak, both of the loss of the child, which is so immense, and also the heartbreak of trying to deal with two people grieving as one, which is hard to do. And so would you help them to come back together, come back to you, and would you heal the grief? Not that it would be erased, this pain, but that it wouldn't be such a burden and it wouldn't be such a wedge between them, but instead it would bring them closer. And we pray too for the rest of their children who are still here on earth with us, that they would continue to heal as well, and that their family unit would just be brought back together and reconnected in ways that can't be separated. If the enemy has a hold here, we tell him in the name of Jesus, you cannot stay, you must flee in the name of Jesus. And we give this family to you, God. Amen.
You know, I don't know who said it first, but someone said, don't make a permanent decision in a temporary crisis. Mm. And though losing a child seems like not anything temporary about that, but still, it's so easy to sabotage because you got to do something. And I just pray, God, for this wife, Lord, that you'd comfort her so profoundly and speak to her so deeply that she wouldn't make a permanent decision in the midst of this deep and intense pain. I pray, God, somehow bind them even closer together. Don't let the enemy drive them apart. I echo what Kim prayed. And oh my goodness, for these other boys, the sons who've lost their brother, we can't even imagine, God, but we ask you, we pray your kingdom come and your will would be done in this family, Lord, in a way that only you can. We just condemn and cut off every scheme of the enemy to bring division and more wounding than when it's already happened. Oh, God, bring healing to them in Jesus' name. Oh, my goodness. I pray for our youngest son. He'd beaten a drug addiction for many years and a year ago started using again, lost his job, totaled his truck, blames me and his dad for everything. Oh. In November, he overdosed, and God saved his life, and he blames us for that, too. Mm. Oh, you two are superheroes to have to walk through that. My goodness, my goodness. People have no idea. I have no idea. Lord, I just lift up this incredible set of parents to you. I pray, God, first and foremost, that you'd ignite their faith, strengthen their marriage, revive their hearts, restore their souls, redeem them, Lord, from the trauma that they have endured because of their son's choices. I just pray for them, separate from their son. Minister to them. Bring them the right kind of friends. Give them still water moments, surprise moments where they feel kissed from heaven, or maybe they're sitting at an outdoor restaurant and they see a rainbow or the sun warms their face or the lemonade tastes extra good. I don't know, but I pray, kiss them, Lord God. Give them all these little moments that will heal them and restore and redeem them from all that they've walked through with this boy of theirs. And God, be the hound of heaven, as Kim prayed earlier. Go after him. And we cut off this curse and this scheme against his life. And we pray you to open his eyes, bring him into the right program or with the right people, Lord Jesus, to see what's what, to see truth from lie, fact from fiction. Open his eyes to the wonder of the gift that he has in his parents. Bring him to a place of profound repentance and deep healing. And I pray you'd revive him and restore him in such a way that you'd use him in a way that makes the enemy absolutely furious. Turn the table on the enemy against this family and redeem and restore in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We pray for Bruce, who is battling stage 4 colon cancer. Mm. This request came in from his sister, because he still doesn't know you, God, even though he's in probably the last stages of his life, and has they've lost other siblings as well to cancer and other illnesses. And so I can't imagine just the anticipation of another loss after so many. And so, Lord, would you use this situation? Would you strengthen the relationship between Bruce and his sister, that they would be able to have those deeper conversations that lead to you, where those bigger questions are asked in vulnerability and the truth wins out? And so we ask that you would move. Would you soften his heart? Would you make space for those conversations to happen so that he can come to know you? We don't care who it is. Maybe it's a nurse. Maybe it's somebody who is visiting somebody else in that same facility that he might be getting treatments in. We just ask that you would move here and that you would strengthen that relationship while there's still time. And we do pray for his sister as well, that in the midst of losing siblings and perhaps waiting for the other shoe to drop, that you would redeem the time, that you would restore her hope, and that she could connect with you in special ways.
Mm-hmm. Please pray for my third child, 15 years old. He accepted Christ, was baptized in middle school. He's now a sophomore this past year. He started questioning God, no longer wants to go to church, questioning biblical truth and the validity of the history of Christ. So happening so often now. And Lord, we pray for that precious third child, that he would know you in a way that changes him. God, visit him in his dreams. Visit him when he's walking to his locker. Visit him when he's in the car riding around. Visit him when he wakes up in the morning. I pray he would know you in a way that changes him forever. Remind him of his first love. And Lord God, just as you're appearing to Muslims in dreams, Lord, we've got a landscape of people who need to see you in their dreams, who really need miracle encounters with you, that they would be awakened to who they are in you. And we cut off every lying influence in this child's life in the name of Jesus. We ask you, whether it's teachers, friends, whoever is lying to him about who you are, move them out of his life and put life-giving people in his path that speak truth one after the other. I pray you give him a heart and a hunger to get back to youth group. And I just pray that he'd start to thirst for truth, Lord Jesus, and he would become a leader among his peers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Like Jean wrote, all praise, glory, and honor to the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Amen, Jean. Mm-hmm. And, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, please pray for all of our prodigal children. And boy, such a heart for that. And Lord, again, we just pray that you would be the hound of heaven, Lord God, that we ask you to move every mountain that blocks their view of you, Lord Jesus. Move every person out of their life that lies to them, Lord God. We ask you to awaken their hearts to who they are in you. Open their eyes to the spiritual warfare that's going on over their souls, that they would see how important they are, Lord, how called that they are, that there's an actual battle going overhead for their mind, their hearts, their spirit, their belief system. Open their eyes, oh God, to see who they are because of who you are. Jesus, we pray for a wave of prodigals to come running home and to be activated into their high call and purposes in Jesus Christ. We pray that that you'd turn some of these Sauls into Pauls and they would become some of the greatest evangelists of our time. Lord, we trust you to work in ways we cannot work and to move in ways we cannot possibly move, but we trust you for the outcome. I'm believing that we have so many listeners who are going to come back someday and say, let me tell you the answer to the prayers you prayed. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to pause here for a short break. When we come back, we'll pray some more. We love to pray for you. You can text in your prayer request, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hallelujah. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. My friend and producer Kim Sanders and I are praying for you the second half of the show, so send in your prayer requests. You can text them to 877-933-2484. And I'm going to read another Devo out of my book, Prevail, just because I think maybe someone needs to hear it. But let's keep those prayer requests coming, and we'll keep the prayers going as well. This one's titled, When God Seems Silent. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord, and remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. That's Psalm 77:11. It's one thing to stay attentive to God's presence when the heavens seem to be open over us, when his words are plentiful and his voice is crystal clear. But how about when he's gone silent, like he's lost our address? This so often happens when we're suffering and we wonder, why now? Now's when I need a word from you. And during such times, we instinctively turn inward. Our self-focused nature emerges when God stops talking. Like Asaph, we sometimes blame God for our suffering and our insomnia and for his lack of involvement in our lives. We accuse him of forgetting to be himself, which is kind, compassionate, and loving. Negative accusations and assumptions about God will always be destructive to our soul. Hear that again. Negative accusations and assumptions about God will always be destructive to our soul. So why does God allow the painful silent season? Because we need to learn to turn on a dime like Asaph did. We won't mature in our faith until we learn to stop in our tracks, redirect our focus, our thoughts, and our words. If you're there today, remember God. Remember his goodness. Recall his miracles and revive your trust in him. Do not confuse his silence with his absence. He's right here, and he's developing gritty faith in you. Rise up, dear one. I pray that encourages you today. Okay, Kim, here we go. So this one says, I'm thankful for this show and for Chip Ingram. My request is that I can get so close to God that I'm strong enough to handle what the enemy throws my way. Somewhere Satan has gained a stronghold in my family. Okay, first of all, I'm going to pray that God would strengthen you, but I want you to know you are strong enough to handle what the enemy throws your way with Christ in you. 1 John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have a mini Jesus in you. You don't have a shriveled Jesus in you. You don't even have a tired Jesus in you. You have the Spirit of the living God in you. The enemy may have gotten a stronghold because maybe you had an agreement with him about something, but you can shut that down right here and right now. Even when you feel weak, you're strong because of Christ in you. I want you to know that. Maybe spend some time in Ephesians 6 and just sort of ponder the weapons of our warfare so you get a firm hold on. You're seated with Christ, and you've got all the weapons for pulling down the strongholds and all the junk that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in your family. You can be a feisty warrior starting now, starting today. So, Lord, I thank you for this dear brother or sister. I thank you that they are strong enough to handle what the enemy throws their way, not in their own strength, but because of Christ in them. And, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that the shoes of peace would become a reality for them, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, that they would see the importance of each of these weapons of their warfare. And I pray they would rise up in faith and tell that enemy what's what and command him to leave, pull down any stronghold that's established itself. And I pray that they would learn to speak life into their family. I thank you, God, that this is an opportunity for them to grow in their faith and to stand in faith and to learn how to stand firm against that enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pray for this listener's daughter. They say, my daughter is walking away from her young marriage and questioning her sexual identity. Pray the blinders would be removed, that she would seek godly counsel and experience the tender love of God and walk in freedom. We're praying for a miracle. Bind the enemy and give her a thirst for truth. Lord, we echo all of that. We offer this young woman to you and ask that you would reveal yourself in a way that is so meaningful to her that she can't deny it, that she would see the truth and respond in action, that she would continue to be committed to her marriage and understand that that's a biblical covenant that she's entered into with you and with her spouse. Would you speak to who she really is, who you made her to be, who her true identity is? We ask for a miracle. We ask that godly people would come around this woman and help her to see the path of truth and righteousness, and that she would have such a thirst for that, that everything that the enemy is trying to do here would just be so ineffective. It would be laughable. Satan, you can't have this marriage. You can't have this woman. You can't have this family. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And again, I'm just going to ask, because there's so many documented cases of Muslims coming to radical faith in Jesus because of a dream. So I'm asking, give her a dream before she makes these decisions and walks away from her marriage. Give her a vivid dream maybe two dreams. One night, a dream of where this will end up if she goes this path. And next dream would be what kind of legacy she builds if she stays and cultivates a strong marriage. God in heaven, we ask you, intervene in the most miraculous way. We pray in your precious name. Amen. This one says, please pray for my adult children who are really struggling with hurts and pains of unresolved hurt because of our divorced family. I pray they will be healed from the hurt and have confidence that they can marry and have successful marriages. Pray for godly spouses for my daughter and my son as they struggle in this world, trying to fill the void with everything except Jesus. And Lord, we pray again that these two would be healed in the deepest ways from the trauma, from the hurt that they've endured because of divorce. So many are walking around today. It doesn't make it less so. It just makes it that more real. And I just ask you, God, to heal this daughter, heal this son, keep them from making decisions that would sabotage the best of what you have. In fact, prepare right now, raise up a guy, a husband for this daughter and a wife for this son that are godly, that love you and that chase after you and that inspire these two to run just as hard after you. And I pray you'd redeem this family beyond this dear listener's wildest dreams. In Jesus' name, amen.
This request says, please pray for my brother who's battling alcohol addiction. Pray for Jesus to enter his heart and change his dependency from being a dependency on alcohol to dependency on God. Lord, we lift up this dear person to you who's struggling and ask that you would bring supernatural healing to them. Would you break the bonds of addiction on this person as well? Would you bring people around them to keep them accountable, to help them foster healing? Would they become so dependent on you that it's like an addiction, but it's the healthy one, right? To be addicted to the goodness of God, that it would feed their whole life and that they would be able to dispense that to others. And this would just be a thing of the past. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Please pray for my friend Tess to be freed by the power of our living God from pain and other issues from a car accident. Oh, God, we pray for Tess. We pray even right now as we are all agreeing together on her behalf. And really, on as Kim always does, I want to pray for everybody who's physically hurting right now for whatever reason. We pray for Tess and for everybody else who's physically hurting. Would you, by the power of your Spirit, touch Tess and touch others with your healing power, with your hand of healing, and that pain would leave their body, Lord God. Restoration would start to kick in. Healing and recovery would spring forth. Lord, we need you. There's so many people who are hurting, so many people who are sick with cancer, Lord God. So many people who are just weary from the news of the culture of the last 20 months. We need a revival. We need restoration. We need a touch from heaven, God. And I know it's possible. That is who you are. That is what you do, Lord Jesus, is you breathe life into our weary souls. You put wind in our sails. You put fresh dreams in our heart. And you give us the courage and the guts to step up and ask you to do the impossible in impossible times. That's what we're asking, God. Do that for us. We need you. We trust you. We're relying on you. In your name, amen.
Amen. So it says, please pray for my 26-year-old son. For years now, he's not been able to hold a job and does video games almost all of his waking hours. He's not a Christian, and my husband and I don't know what to do. So, Lord, we lift up this man to you. Would you give him a sense of purpose? Would you bring a knowing knowledge of yourself to him? Would you become just such a strong draw in his life that he would surrender to you and that you would show him exactly the man that you've made him to be, that he would become this independent, purpose-filled person that would just flow through the vision of your life with such ease and joy that it would be undeniable. We give him to you now in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I love this from one of our special listeners. I just love to hear from her. But she says, my prayer is that God's love would be so obvious and beautiful in me that it would cause my children and grandchildren to desire him above all else. And Lord, we echo that for all of us, that you would shine so brightly on us, in us, and through us, that the rest of the world, our loved ones, our neighbors, and anybody who comes in contact with us would want to know you the way we know you. Oh, God in heaven, shine your light in and through us. May we love well. May we pray powerfully. May we speak precisely, God. May we be purposeful in all that we do and say. May we live worthy of your name, Lord. We want that so much. God, show us where we're blind. Show us where we're deaf. Awaken our hearts where they're out of rhythm with you. Help us to live like your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Kim, thank you for joining me. I can always count on you. Appreciate you so much. Bless you, my friend.
You too. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And I pray you found some encouragement here today. Nothing like a spontaneous time of prayer, right? We just felt like you needed it. And we always love to bring you before the throne room. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.